This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hang on a minute. What on earth are these lunatics doing going live? Good evening. As you can tell, again, I'm Joe. Aaron's in the gallery this evening. Aaron is on producing duty, and you're stuck with me for another episode of the Green and White Podcast brought to you by Argyle Life. Well, we had our way last year, didn't we? We didn't have our way this year. After a titanic title tussle at Home Park, all systems would go to welcome back the old foe in Ipswich Town, this time in Skybet Championship action. Following a fantastic victory at the Riverside last week against Middlesbrough, everyone was highly optimistic as Kieran McKenna's tractors rolled into the West Country. However, after a bright first half, some wounds of recent games were sadly reopened, notably by Connor Chaplin's strike after the hour mark, which took a slight deflection, more on that later, off the, not stricken Brendan Galloway, but he was the unfortunate party in it all, and it flew into the opposite corner to where Connor Hazard had thrown himself in hope of getting away the shot. As the second half then progressed with Ipswich in front, they grew in confidence and Argyle seemed to wane in their own confidence. And lo and behold, Kiefer Moore, you should not allow a player of that quality that chance as he gets on the end of a flick on from Connor Chaplin. I'm sure we'll talk about the build-up to that second goal and what happened, which transpired to Kiefer Moore slamming home yet another goal for Ipswich Town on the road this year. They really are potent in front of goal and sent the 1,700 Ipswich fans home happy, which is something they've not been able to do on many visits to Home Park when fans have been allowed into the stadium. It had been 2008 when crowds were actually in attendance since Ipswich last won at Home Park. Of course, they did get a win during COVID, but as we all know, COVID football doesn't exist and we've wiped it all from our memories. Joining me this evening, we have, fresh after an appearance last week, making back-to-back starts on the podcast, Adam. Good evening. Are you well?
Good evening. Yeah, very well, although very disappointed that my run of only attending after we'd won has finished before it really started. So I'll just have to make do.
Yeah, don't tell Adam, but his performance has already disappointed the selectors and he's likely to be out of action on midweek after Sheffield Wednesday. But you never know, if he impresses tonight, we might rotate the squad after our trip to Ewood Park at the weekend. Ben, I noticed you're wearing a rather historic Argyle kit from all those years ago, and that was probably the kit we wore last time Ipswich won at Home Park all those moons ago.
Quite possibly. It was David Norris-inspired choice of kit, so I thought it had to be done, given his appearance at the Theatre of Greens this weekend.
Great to see Chuck back at Home Park. If you were one of the 1,000 people who got a pasty, I hope it was well worth it. Do let us know in the comments if you did get a David Norris-inspired delight. And last but not least, he is on his feet once again. Mr. Down, how are you?
I'm very good, Joe. The last time we lost against Ipswich with fans in attendance, full fans, that is, because actually the Ipswich game was one of the very rare few in the Interregnum where fans were allowed in the COVID season. Last time we watched with unrestricted capacity us lose to Ipswich was October 2008, in fact. So not the kit Ben was wearing a little bit later, but a good effort nonetheless from you. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Still a little bit quietly seething about football and, yeah, sport in general, but, you know, okay.
That's already a mark against Sam's name in undermining the host, but here we go. Unfortunately, I have my running order in front of me, and I do have to go to Sam straight away as well. So you can redeem yourself now, Sam, with an excellent review, a not-so-excellent result on the 2-0 defeat at home to Ipswich Town.
Yeah, not-so-excellent result, not-so-excellent performance either, I'm afraid to say. I think the first half we were decent. I wouldn't say we were great. I think you have to respect that, you know, in the first half we at least had a bit of a go at them. You know, give some credit where it's due. We at least put men forward, got some decent passing moves together. The execution in the final third let us down. We, for all our decent play in that first half, we only actually created one good chance, which was when Whittaker beautifully played a ball to Mikel Miller, who sort of caught it on the half volley and just he struck it okay, but the defender on the line blocked it, didn't he? Again, that was a good chance. It wasn't an absolute sitter. It was always tough coming to him like that on the volley. Whittaker did very well, but it was always tough sort of coming to him the way it did. Without wanting to get those dreaded two letters out that Ben loves and Joe doesn't love, I imagine the value of that chance would not have been mega high. But, you know, it was probably the best chance of the game up to that point, I would say. And then second half, first 5 minutes of the second half, we got the ball down the Devonport end quite a lot. Again, put a bit of pressure on them that first 5 minutes of the second half. Unfortunately, they then really started knocking on the door, and it was one of those where you could feel the goal was coming, and sure enough, it did. Not because they outcreated us, it was just an incredibly unlucky deflection. Sometimes luck just really does go against you with football, and with that first goal, it did. You can't legislate for it pinging off like that. That shot's going comfortably into the arms of Hazard until it takes that ping, I'm confident in saying. What I absolutely cannot excuse is how we just collapsed like a pack of cards after that goal went in. Just completely all the stuff we were doing well. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say the first half was an amazing performance. We did only create one clear-cut chance. I mean, even then, like I said, it wasn't that clear-cut. Even at half-time, I was saying, you know, for all our decent build-up play, I still want to see us have a go at them a bit more. But I was at least, whilst, you know, taking that mixed view on it, whilst I was fairly happy, I thought we could have been doing some stuff better. After going 1-0 down, it was just, a pretty shambolic last half hour, in truth. I'm not going to fully go off on a rant like I did after the West Brom game, because I will save that level of anger for games where it's really warranted. And as poor as yesterday was, it wasn't quite of that level. So I'm not going to go on as much of a rant as I did. But I really was not happy with so much of what we saw that last half hour. I don't think we really got the ball forward much at all until then. Then we went 2-0 down. We did. And we then hit the post. But then that was just a bit of a good break. It was no build up behind it. There was no targeted, you know, pressing like there was in the first half. Ipswich are a good side, yes, but, you know, we keep hearing this in every interview, don't we? They're a good side. sorry, I'm just laughing away at all the comments there. We keep hearing this. West Brom are a good side, Leeds are a good side, Ipswich are a good side. Yes, they are, but we're so much better when we actually go toe-to-toe with each side. When we get cowed, which we very rarely do, and we very rarely did under Schumacher, but seemingly are doing quite a lot under Foster, we just sit back and we just invite them on us. And we all knew that second goal was coming. I think there wasn't anyone in the ground who was surprised. Even though they went 1-0 up, we were badly in need of points at home, or at least a point at home, with the other teams winning around us. Yet at 1-0, you thought the only goal was coming from Ipswich, not from us. And there was no attempt to regain control of the game. We were just chasing shadows around the pitch. yeah, pretty rubbish last half hour, and it was a disappointing lack of intensity given how badly we needed points on the board. And yeah, what can you say? Three home defeats in a row without scoring, no less. I think even with my encyclopedic knowledge of Argyle, I can't actually remember when we last had three home defeats in a row without scoring. Yes, of course, it's partially a product of the opposition, but not entirely. Once again, I felt we were poor. And for all the brilliant play we saw at Middlesbrough, it was a bit of a back to square one moment for me.
I should have mentioned on the intro to tonight's show, do stick around because we do have a special guest joining us later on in the show. We're really excited about that special guest joining us. We're going to come to you in a second, Ben. I'm going to go jump straight into full-time thoughts. We'll do it platform by platform. So we're going to take a trip to Pasotti Corner early on in tonight's episode. And we're going to start off with Biggs, who said, "I don't think we were bad at all today, but a niggling concern is that we seem to have abandoned playing out from the back with any sort of high-risk attacking plan, which may be met with relief by some, but that's how modern attacking football teams play, and that's how lots of our attacks pre-January started. Linked to the form of Morgan, because he's now not getting the ball anywhere near as often." Muttley Marvel says, "Reluctant referee with the cards Ipswich scored extremely well in disrupting our game and knowing the referee would allow them to get away with blue murder. Frustrating to say the least, but we did not have any answers to get anything out of the game. Fozzie will probably say this result will not define our season." Actually, if you're playing Fozzie press conference roulette, you would not have marked that one off your chart. "Second half, we might as well stay in the dressing room as Ipswich toyed with us, chastening for the players and the fans. Ipswich on another level. We just need to dust ourselves down and focus on our next game. We are not a bad team. Jobo and the senior players will raise the group." Green 1886 says, "The worrying thing for me is the lack of fight, desire and will to win. Ipswich surrounding the referee from the first minute. Gamesmanship, call it what you want, but it won them the game." I think actually hitting the back of the net twice probably won them the game. I don't think there was too much of that. We were just as guilty from what I was seeing. Teams around us pulling out results we can only dream of. Do I fancy us to get anything at Sheffield or Blackburn? You can probably guess what you said to that. Then we have up the line, "Nice of Foster to come out and applaud the remaining supporters like he did after we won, .. Oh, wait." And Fergie, we'll finish on Fergie's points on Pasotti Corner today. "We did okay today and we were simply outclassed. It was a result that was expected. We really do miss a player to drive us forward from midfield, however. Whitaker's form since Foster came in is also a concern. He has now become the least influential of the front three." Ben, it was a frustrating afternoon. Chastening is probably the right word that was mentioned above. However, you have a point you would like to make on not just this game, but also a few recent games.
Yeah, I've said both on here and on Twitter that I'm going to wait until after the Blackburn game to make any like hard and fast judgments, because there's been an awful lot of transition, busy period of fixtures and stuff. But I think it was Biggs, the first comment you read out from Pasotti sort of hit the nail on the head there. We are playing a much less high-risk style of football. It's much more conservative, not in terms of trying to score, but in terms of the amount of risk we're willing to put into an attack. We'd rather keep possession of the ball, because if we've got the ball, the opponents can't score. The problem with that is, as I think we're being exposed, when a team is happy, I mean, West Brom did it excellently, happy to sort of sit further back, let us build up and not allow us the overloads, and then spring a press when the trigger is right for them, we have no alternative. And I think when Foster's tactics have worked correctly or worked well in terms of the matchup against the opposition, like Middlesbrough, like Cardiff, where it plays into our hands, it's exciting football. But when it doesn't work, there doesn't appear to be a plan B. And the problem with that is there's a very obvious plan B ready and made in the squad, which is to revert somewhat at least towards the style that was being played at the beginning of the season and that even Neil Jusnet was playing in the interregnum. Now, I have a feeling that Foster was, when he came in, was very strong on wanting to right the wrongs of the season so far. I think he really wanted to stamp his mark on this team and on the style of play and on the club. And I've got no problem with that. But, you know, I think that's why he was so hyped up about the away win, getting the away win. He seemed really, you know, fired up about that because that had been a monkey on the back of the club. I think he was trying to sort of introduce a new world order, as it were, a new regime, not so much out of ego, just in terms of moving on, setting out a new stall and putting behind us what had happened with Schumacher. But I think that might have gone a little bit too far in terms of he's not willing to go back towards that style. And I think it might be a case of if he went back towards that style and it had an effect, let's say we go one down, we go two down, he says, right, we'll let everybody off the leash and go and play that more flamboyant kamikaze football. And we get a couple of goals and we get a draw. Both the players in the dressing room, but especially the fans, will say, well, look, that's what we're good at. Let's do that. Now, if he had an alternative plan B for when we go one down, two down, and plan A is not working, that's fine. But as no other one seems to be presenting itself, surely reverting to what got us goals and got us results, as dangerous as it might be, in the short term, in the immediate need of we need points on the board, as horrible as it is and it might go against his principles, is a good option to take. Once we've got sort of 50, 52 points on the board, then he can be as intransigent as he wants. And I think the key point that Biggs made there is the fact that Whittaker's not getting the ball. I did some maths on the last 9 games of Schumacher's regime, which of course ended with Rotherham. So you had the Rotherham QPR before that, when we were down to 10 men, all the way back to through Leicester, Stoke, Coventry, Sunderland, Leeds, Borough, Ipswich and Wednesday. So a good chunk of those teams we've played in, you know, in the games since, in the last 9 games under Foster, for example, Coventry, Sunderland, Leeds, Borough, Ipswich. Yeah. So relatively similar run of games. Whittaker got an average of 47.2 touches in those games and 3.3 shots. And in the 9 league games under Foster, he's had an average of 33.7 shots and an average of 2.2 shots. 33.7 touches and 2.2 shots. So he's basically performing at like 66%, getting 66% of the shots off and not much more in terms of touches. Now, he's our best player, quite clearly. And if we're not getting, you know, if he's getting 66% of the ball and 66% of the shots away, that's clearly going to be affecting the outcome of our games negatively. And as that, I think, is, you know, if we were still getting Whittaker the ball under Foster's tactics, and he just wasn't doing anything with it. Same with Hardy. Hardy's statistics are likewise touches and shots are down. If we were getting the ball to our main attacking players, And that was the problem. They weren't finishing. Now, to be fair, they aren't finishing the way they were early in the season, and the goalkeeper isn't doing as well as he was early in the season. So that does also affect results partially. But I don't think that any of the results would really have been changed significantly if we were hitting the same sort of accuracy and goalkeeping quality as we were early in the season. Might have saved a goal or two, but I don't think any of the results would have changed. So I think that's the real damning stat when it comes to Foster not having a plan B. We're just not getting the ball to our dangerous players enough. And even if the plan B completely makes him feel sick, there's a plan B ready made that a lot of this squad have played with Steven Schumacher and have played an attacking style of football. Yes, it may be ill-disciplined as far as Ian Foster thinks, but they've done it. They can do it with their eyes closed, a lot of them. Let them do it. If you're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, what's the harm? You know, you're already, you know, losing. Continue, because it makes us look like we're going down with a whimper, because we keep doing the same thing. It looks like we've just got no ideas. It's not that we've got no ideas. That's what the players are told to do, and they do it relatively well. It's just they're not necessarily equipped to do it in terms of their abilities, or the opposition have worked them out. Like Ipswich, first half, decent first half, went toe-to-toe, you know, pretty even. We really pressed Ipswich high up the pitch, bothered them. Second half, they worked it out, made a tweak. We had no answer, and it makes us look, makes the players rather look stupid and naive. But they're not being told they can do something different, I'm assuming. And you know, it makes us look like we're going down with a whimper without having that alternative. And I think for the players, but especially for the fans and the atmosphere, he needs to find a plan B quickly, whatever it is, whether it's reverting to a more attacking, whether it's a formational change, whatever it is, he needs to find something. Otherwise, the atmosphere, I feel, is going to get... I mean, it was quiet. It was dead on Saturday. I mean, the Ipswich fans were even singing, "Is it a library?" And that hasn't... that was bad as been at times this season. It's not been quite that bad. I feel like it might even become toxic, sadly, if we can't find an alternative way of playing. Because otherwise, we're limited to getting results against teams where that allow us our slow build-up and struggle against our high press. Otherwise, those are the only teams we're going to beat. And that's quite a select pool of teams that we got to pick from that will be susceptible to that. So we definitely, you know, he really needs to find something that gets our best players, our most attacking players involved. Doesn't have to be Schumacher ball, but if he's got no other ideas, that's a pretty decent alternative to fall back on when his tactics aren't working.
Yeah, I definitely think that obviously the whole plan A, plan B thing is a big talking point, and I'm sure that we'll get the lads' views on that as the episode goes on. Just go to some Facebook comments, and I'll come to you, Adam. Adam Krieber said, "We are where we are. It's an incredibly tough league. We're competing, but we're coming up short. We've lost our style of play. Let's not forget we've played some decent teams recently." Stuart Carr says, "We now need 4 wins from 11 games. No reason we can't do it. We can't expect to beat teams like Ipswich. The gap in finances is massive. 52 points or so is enough to stay up for him." Darren Mann says, "Leaving our tallest centre-back on the bench when they have a centre-forward in the size of Kiefer Moore was always asking for trouble." So that's Darren's thoughts on Kiefer Moore, obviously getting the winner. What turned out to be the clinching goal, shall I say, not the winner. Michael Ross Williams says, "Game of two halves. First half, we did everything but score. Second half, as soon as they scored, we didn't seem to bother. Very close to the bottom three now. Still have the faith." And last but not least from Facebook, Andrew McMillan says, "Again, the tactics were far too negative for my liking. I don't mind losing, but only if we are actually trying to attack and win. Might as well have sold Morgan Whittaker for £15 million in January because we have hardly passed the ball to him since," as Ben's stats would now back up. Adam,
can I just jump in quickly? Because I'm going to be making way for our special guest shortly. But just before you would go to Adam on that question, I wanted to address the whole money thing. We can't be expecting to beat teams, you know, who have these sort of wage and budget advantages. But everybody in this league has that advantage over us. At what point do you draw the line? You know, we've taken points off of Norwich, Borough. You know, we took a point off Cardiff. You've got a high wage bill. There's a lot of teams we've taken points off, even beaten. No, we took a point off West Brom already this season. There's a lot of teams who have massive wage bills and budgets who we've taken points off. Yeah, it's a very dangerous game if you say we can't beat X team or a team that earns X amount or makes X amount or spends X amount. Well, then where do you draw that line? It's a very arbitrary line to draw. Is it like the 9.5 million we can beat, but 10 million we can't beat? Well, that's the difference in the wage bill. It's thin end of the wedge stuff to sort of have an inferiority complex. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, as the old adage goes. And that's something Schumacher, for all his faults, that was one of his great strengths, was he had the players believe and they could go toe-to-toe with anybody. They, you know, last year he had them, their backs against the wall, everyone against us in the title running. And again, I think, you know, he had it at the beginning of this year, whether there were flaws to his tactics and style, absolutely. But he had that mentality in the players that they were going to go and bloody the nose of anyone they were playing. And I don't think the attitude that all of a sudden people saying, "Oh, you know, we can't compete with these teams." Why not? It's 11 men against 11 men. Yes, of course, some teams will, you know, have an advantage over us. But to just, you know, psychologically, you're half beaten if you say, "Well, we can't compete with teams that," you know, Ipswich's budget isn't, you know, through the roof compared to ours. And we've gone out and beaten teams like Borough, who've got massive budgets, probably a much bigger budget than Ipswich. So I don't buy any of that. Better teams, better squads, more money really makes that much of a difference. Otherwise, why would we play football? Why would we bother? If it was that obvious, we'd just know he wins the league at the start of the year. So I'm not buying that. I think that's a thin end of a wedge if you start allowing that kind of inferiority complex back into the club when we've done very well to shake that off recently. Sorry, I'll let you go back to Adam with that question now, and I'll bid everyone good night in case I don't get another chance.
Yeah, that's fine, Ben. We'll keep you in for the time being. We might be able to get round to you for another thought or two before, as I've mentioned, we will be joined by a special guest. Adam, finally coming to you then into tonight's episode. Somebody mentioned there, I can't remember who it was, I've only got it decided to me, and Michael mentioned that it was a tale of two halves. And the first half, really, there wasn't a huge amount in the game, was there? There was plenty of half chances at either end. Obviously, Connor Hazard had to make a good save from a Kiefer Moore flick on. But we had our chances, JB firing wide, Hardy firing over, Mikel Miller had a volley blocked. There wasn't a huge amount in it in the first half. How content were you at 0-0 at halftime with how we were playing in that first 45?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of in it, absolutely. Was it exciting? No, absolutely not. And I think that's kind of half the pain of this one, is that if you're losing these games in the way you are, but you're playing good football, you can almost forgive it. Whereas the other way around is quite difficult. But was it effective, at least for the first half? Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I wasn't completely enthused, but I don't think I necessarily needed to be. I thought if we carried on the way we did, yeah, you know, I imagine the way the plan was carry on as we are doing, and maybe if we get the ball to one of our better players, we can nick a goal and win the game. I don't necessarily, against Ipswich, who are pushing for a return to the Premier League, think that's a bad way of doing it. And with that in mind, yeah, I wasn't particularly fussed at the 0-0 with the thought that we could come through. But it is with a significant benefit of hindsight that was that first half good enough when you consider how then we carried on the game? No, I guess it wasn't. Because ultimately, if that's what you've got to look forward to, and you're not actually trying, I say not actually trying, you're not actually getting yourself on top in that first half when perhaps we could have done, then yeah, you're setting yourself up for a struggle. It's a shame, because if we were to look at this and perhaps that deflected shot didn't go in. And incidentally, I've agreed with just about everything that's been said on this podcast so far. The only thing I've disagreed with is Sam mentioned that he thinks that Hazard would have saved that shot from Chapman. I personally think that shot was heading straight for the Barn Park end and would have been absolutely fine. And Hazard would not have needed to get close to it. And alas, that's what happens. So, you know, if that doesn't happen and we don't have that stroke of luck go against us, then maybe we do come out of the game with a result from that style of play and we're happy. So it's one of those, isn't it? I was satisfied at halftime. I wasn't being kept awake, but I was satisfied. But it's the way these games go, and the teams that have that quality and the teams that are at the top tend to find a way. And it's something that Argyle are going to need to do ultimately, because there was another comment as you went through Facebook, and again, apologies to whoever it was, because I can't remember any of the names that you fired at me. But he mentioned that has been a tough run of games, and that should be or could be a turning point at this stage. Now, I remember back to mid-January in the build-up to the Cardiff game, and there was an impression almost that we kind of need to win this. So if you've seen the fixtures that are to come, we kind of need to beat Cardiff to get ourselves that breathing place. And as it happens, well, here we are. If we didn't beat Cardiff, we're suddenly in the relegation zone at this stage. So it's all one of those. And that run of difficult games now should be at an end. And that's not to say that the result's going to change. That's not to say the style's going to change. But it should be easier now. And if we were to continue with the way that we played against Ipswich in the first half, where I've said I'm quite satisfied, against the so-called lesser teams, and we still then go ahead and lose 2-0 to a couple of really disappointing goals to concede, then yeah, I'm in dire straits at that point. But as it was yesterday, you know, I think you've just got to take it as it comes in the grand scheme of things. It was not exciting. It was not pleasing. And yeah, nobody's leaving with a smile on the faces aside from those in the away end. But it's one to take on the chin. We're still not in the relegation zone as it stands. We've got those games to come. If we can put our style of play in that's not exciting, but we win, then you know what? I can forgive it for the way we're going forward. But I guess it's a big if. We'll see.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Sam, Adam mentioned there that, you know, the way Ipswich set up and that it was a scrappy first half. There was no real flow to it. Referee Josh Smith was quite involved in that first half, even if his hands obviously weren't necessarily cold enough to put them in his pocket during that first 45 minutes. And that's on both teams, by the way. That's not me having a go at the referee just because he was biased one way. I think on the whole, he probably had a pretty disappointing day for both teams. But he says about good teams finding a way. Ipswich's second half performance and how they adapted to the game and how they got imposed themselves, how they got their style across. Is that not just what we did last season's teams? Teams will have felt at halftime that they were still in the game, and then we would just assert ourselves and our quality last season shone through. And this is just us taking it on the chin. That fair play to Ipswich. They dealt with it. They got control of it. And they thoroughly deserve the win.
Yeah. There are a lot of parallels between us last season and Ipswich this season. Aaron tweeted that from the Argyle Life account earlier. You know, loanees playing a role, a lot of deflected goals playing a role. All the stuff that they wound us up about last year is the stuff that they're having go in their favour this year. And that's not me trying to wind them up with that comment. It's just a genuinely quite a funny irony to it. And I think one of the Ipswich fans actually said in reply, yeah, you know, I can see how you felt last season, how everyone writing you off, whereas actually, you know what, maybe you need a bit of luck to go your way to compete with teams far bigger budget than you, because actually Ipswich's budget relative to Leicester, Leeds, Southampton is probably even smaller than our budget relative to Ipswich Wednesday and Barnsley. And yeah, and credit to McKenna, who's doing an absolutely fantastic job this season. I still don't like the way they conduct themselves on the pitch, with all their players absolutely berating the ref at every opportunity, getting in his ear, putting pressure on. I don't like Morsi the way he is. Another horrid foul on Randall in the first 10 minutes. I think he nearly battered Randall in the previous home game, and he made a good start towards doing it again here. I don't like a lot of their players, really. I mean, they're talented, but I don't like them.
Are you playing in disguise?
Yeah, they're probably players you'd bloody love if they played for your own team. But, like, you know, I probably would love Chaplin if he played for us. I'd probably love Davis if he played for us. But I think they're a pair of little expletives when they're playing for Ipswich. But, yeah, I don't know. They are a good team, no doubt about that whatsoever. They did impose control on the game. Look, as we've probably all agreed on, that still doesn't, you know, excuse the inferiority complex. That doesn't excuse the way we dropped like an absolute stone. But yes, credit to them. They did very well. And if the analogy holds that they are the us of League One last season, then that might mean they win the league. And maybe Leicester will do the role of Sheffield Wednesday, drop into the playoffs and win them. Who knows? But that's just me being a bit too speculative. But yeah, got to give credit to them where it's due. Fair enough to them.
Certainly have. Ben, your time has come. The fourth official has put the board up and it is time for a substitution. Good to see you, mate. I'm sure we'll see you either midweek at the weekend.
Have a good evening, all.
Cheers, Ben.
Ben is out. And Keith Stroud, who was on fourth official duty, is about to raise the substitution board. And we are delighted to say, making his green and white podcast debut.
Hello.
Is the one and only Jack Pieface McDermott. Jack, are you well?
I am good. How are we, boys? All right. Well, I say I'm good. I don't know about after yesterday if I'm good, but it was painful.
Give us your lowdown, because you've just tweeted that you might have a minor meltdown. So why don't we get that out of the way and then we can focus on other things
yeah, that's
as
fine,
we
mate.
Go on.
I mean, yeah, I say minor. I didn't know if it was going to be like full on. I did, only because like I kind of want to be a little bit balanced, and I feel the first 45 minutes we were actually quite good. Like, I thought we matched them. I thought we played all right. But then what annoyed me about that is I think they were there for the taking. We just, again, like no goals at home, three games, just played the same side to side. And then it's just back to the classic days of we concede, gone. No clue. Absolutely no clue. Like, and then, like, at the end of the day, I'm just a fan, right? Like everyone else, like you boys, you know, like I have no clue myself. I'm just expressing my opinion. But surely anybody can see that Houghton, I think, is the key to the midfield, and he took him off. I didn't get it. He connects us going forward. When he come off, I just thought it fell apart. And then, yeah, I just don't understand, like, the substitutes, and then, you know, like, Bundu coming on the second, like, we concede a second. I don't know, mate. For me, it's just, I think, and I don't mind saying it, because I know I've had, a few people that they don't like me, like, saying it in the way that I do think the club is the people at fault, really. It's not necessarily Foster's fault that he's been put in a role that, and I hope I'm wrong, that I don't think he's good enough for. I don't think he's a championship quality manager. I really don't. Like, I don't think his media handling's very good. And I think that is an important part of trying to connect with the fans and the club, right? Like, you want to feel like you're part of the club. Even back when we had Derek Adams, at least he gave you a bit of grit, like a little bit of something. Even Lowe gave us something in the media. It was after the West Brom game. Just come out and said, I think people would have been a lot more resonating if he came out and said, you know what, we were rubbish. It was a terrible performance, but we were tired. And I would understand that more if he did come out and say that. But instead, he came out and tried, to play it off. We were awful, absolutely awful. And it was the same yesterday. Like Tuesday is what, biggest game of the season? And we have to turn up. We literally have to turn up. But again, the club are the people that employed him. And I hope I'm wrong. And I hope, we get 6 points from six, and I'll be laughing at myself with egg on my face, and we'll all be looking back at it thinking, happy days. But yeah, I don't know. It's just something about it, really. It's just something about it. I think, again, as well, we struggle to get creative players in. We lack that massively. I think we really do. I do think our structure in terms of the players and ability we've got, though, is actually really good. I think our starting sort of 11 actually is solid. That's how I'd see it, in my opinion, in terms of like our starting 11. But again, it's like there's just no tactical. Why are we staying with five at the back? You know, like when we went 2-0 down, we looked like we were done. And as Dave says, right, already, how long's Foster been in charge? I feel like the fans are already losing faith. And I think that's the problem, is once the fans are already not connecting with Foster, or already like believing in him, I think that could be a problem. So yeah, sorry for the minor meltdown there, but that's just sort of how I feel. So I don't want to be overly critical. It's not like I just want to like do here and slag and slag and slag. Like, it's still early, right? And I would love to make this clear. I would rather be absolutely wrong. You know, we go on a really good run, we play good football, he keeps us up, happy days, no problem. Like, that's fine. But I worry that isn't necessarily going to be the case, and that it is going to, potentially go a bit wrong. But I believe in the players. That's the one thing. I do believe in the players. I really do. But, like, what's going on with Wicker, for example? Like, that can't just be a player thing, surely, like the way he's being played, like, and he needs balls and passes. And I think that is the biggest problem with the Foster style, is our connection from defence to midfield to attack. It's just, I don't think we join it together well enough. I really don't. My worry is on Tuesday is he'll just, and I like Forshaw, but I do prefer Houghton. My worry is he won't play Houghton. I do worry he won't play Houghton on Tuesday. And I think he's the key. I really do. And I know I scream that a lot, but for the connection, for playing the ball through, I think he does so much for the team. It's nuts. But yeah, I'm done. Apologies. Sorry for the...
But I've seen your meltdowns. That doesn't even touch the sides, mate. That was a half a meltdown
at most. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it calm, Sam. I don't want to go too mental because Tuesday. I'm kind of waiting for if it goes wrong at Tuesday. That's where it all, you know, that's where it'll fully be lost. I wasn't as angry as after West Brom. We weren't as bad as we were against West Brom. To say first half, I do think we were quite good. We did match them, but we just had no intention of like. No sucker punch. Like, I feel so badly for the boys up front. They just don't get the service. But this is the thing. We know it's the system because we've seen under Schumacher they can play the football. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you know what I mean? We can see at the football that Schumacher plays that it was they could play attacking style. So we know they can play it. That's the thing. We know they can do it, and all of a sudden they can't. Don't make sense.
In all fairness, Jack, to be fair, Sam has had more spectacular meltdowns than that. One being about 10 days ago, post the West Brom game, which I'm surprised still hasn't been clipped up and put around everywhere. Let's get some Twitter views, full-time thoughts. That'll round off the holy trinity of full-time thoughts. Jack Leslie says, knew we'd lose as soon as our fan base started singing Championes. Scrappy first half, but let's be honest, we were poor in the second half, deserved absolutely nothing, created next to nothing. Ian Foster once again showing his lack of tactical nous as he did nothing despite us being overrun. Pete Robinson says relying on Miller too much for any ground offensive. Barry Evans says lacked creativity and energy going forward. On to the next game, we need something out of Tuesday. I'm going to butcher this one. Kerouac99. Says as flat a performance as we've had at home. I'm guessing Kerouac was not at the West Brom game. Nothing too dire in the first half, but the second half we seemed leggy and played into their hands, dropping off exactly the same as the West Brom game. I spoke too soon. And then we had a bit of interaction from Ipswich fans. Always happy to get interaction from opposition fans. Luke says, boys, that was by far the easiest run out we've had. Even better with five starters missing. Cheers for the six. No, you only scored two, Luke, not six. And the other Luke that's an Ipswich Town fan, said, as above, nice to have the shoe on the other foot this season. Massive potential banana skin navigated from our end. The shoe was on the other foot, Sam, or Adam even. We've been to Sam again. Adam, the shoe was on the other foot. Deflection FC. It was always going to happen, wasn't it? There was a deflection at Portman Road. There's a deflection at Home Park. And what a massive slice of luck it was. And it really did change the game.
Yeah, I know I've mentioned it before. And it's, it's one of those, isn't it, where there's a certain irony in us conceding goal to a massive deflection and a lone player to a fan base who has spent the last year telling us that deflections and goals by lone players actually don't count. So I'm sure they'll be getting in touch with the EFL to hand back those points. And that one that we'll get will obviously really help us out. But I think, yeah, in all fairness, we've kind of covered off the point of the way that they won it and the way that you know, there was a stroke of luck that went against us. I think that's absolutely clear. But at the same time, did the better team win the game? Yes. Did we deserve anything from the game? No, I wouldn't say so. So it's, the shoe is very much on the other foot, but I hope this helps some of those fans in Suffolk to realise just what we were doing last season and realise actually it's not all about good fortune. It's about finding your way over the line. They did that yesterday. We did that for 101 points last season.
Yeah, so they do that a lot. Sorry, apologies to interrupt. It's just they do that this season. And like that is in a way, luckily it take you so far. That is a credit to Ipswich. Like they do seem to find a way like in so many games. I mean, I don't think they look that they were good second half. But there's not been many teams that have come to Home Park this season where I've gone, actually, they look really, like Leeds look really good. Southampton look pretty good at the start of the season. Like there's no one who's come down though where I thought, actually, they look like quality. Like Birmingham, ironically, actually, I thought was one of the hardest games we had all season when they came down. So, they find a way, don't they? And they did, that we did in League One. They were a better team than us in League One. No question they were a better team than us. But we just, you know, we kept on picking up points and managed to keep them at bay. But no, I think it's going to be it's going to be difficult now, isn't it? It's going to be difficult now for us. We just got to try and... It's hard to believe, though, isn't it? It's so hard. It is where I lose my head again, because it's just so hard to believe when you don't believe in the manager, and that's the issue. After 10 games or 11 games, you don't believe in the manager.
Well, the manager there is, very much keen. I think, as you touched on, the way that he's handling the media, the way that he's doesn't have the plan B, I think what the impression I'm getting right now, without wanting to lose my head entirely, is that Foster clearly has coaching credentials. Does he have managerial credentials at this point? The jury's very much out. I think, as has been said, both by yourself, Pi, and what we've had previously, he could come out after that West Brom game and say, that wasn't good enough. We were crap. And say, okay, well, we've got reason, maybe we can put mitigations in, but own it. If he comes out and says something like, I recognise that wasn't good enough, it's something for us all to learn from, something for me to learn from, for an inexperienced manager, I think we'd all respect that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just look at Foster now, and I'm almost thinking back to the John Sheridan days, almost, of the first goal being absolutely crucial. I mean, yes, okay. You know how it is. We won the Cardiff game after going a goal down. Fine, that was a useful one coming from behind. But since then, realistically, I mean, okay, yeah, we scored first at Sunderland, but the first goal crucial against Swansea. Both teams don't score in many of our games at the moment, which feels a world away, to be honest, from where we were, honestly, just a couple of months ago, which is very strange, I think is the way I'd put it. So my hope, obviously, I don't want to lose too much faith just yet because of the point I made earlier about the fixture list. We could easily be finding ourselves in a couple of weeks' time with a couple of wins behind us, thinking, okay, yeah, maybe that was premature. But right now, it's beginning to look like the first goal is going to be crucial in an awful lot of our games, because I'm not getting the managerial nous from Foster that he can turn it around. And like everybody else who said that, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we go on and realise that he has actually got more strings to his bow than his one, the one shape that he likes. At the minute, I doubt it. And I think, when it works, we've seen at Borough away. That was one of our best performances, arguably our best performance of the season. It can work. He's clearly got some coaching nous behind him that can suit this team on occasion. But when it's not going quite right, my faith is, let's say, dwindling for the purposes of this. And very much hope that he can prove me wrong.
Sam, before we touch on any individual performances that you guys want to pick out, there was a second goal in the game. And this one was a little bit more, from an Argyle point of view, baffling the most, because it's come from a set piece. And from what I could see, we didn't win a single contact at any point during that phase of play. It's come. Burgess wins the header at the back post. Chaplin then wins a flick on when he's really not challenged. And Kiefer Moore has got... I mean, he probably could have brought it down before he hit it, let alone hit it on the volley. It was just a mess from our point of view, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, if you're letting a man of Connor Chaplin sides with a header, something's clearly gone wrong, hasn't it, somewhere? Yeah, my sarcasm aside there, nobody picked any of them up. High ball goes across the box. Half the crowd started giving it away, thinking it was going out. And then I just said, no, it's not going out. And came back in. Gibson and Galloway were just both, and they're both players I like a lot. So I don't want anyone to think I'm digging them out too badly. But despite the fact they've both had good seasons for us, they were both completely statuesque for that goal. And Kiefer Moore, like you said, had all the time in the world. Aaron's just said what I said. Lewis Gibson's been phenomenal all season, but he has to do better. Couldn't agree more. And Kiefer Moore has all the time. He could have brought it down, probably. Obviously, he just goes first time for it, and you can't say he's done wrong because he scored, but he had all the time in the world that he could have brought it down because the defending was very inadequate. And ultimately, come on, that's meant to be Foster's bread and butter. We could kind of, to a degree, accept abandoning the attacking style if we were actually reliably good at defending and didn't make errors like that. But the fact that we've gone to this defensive shape, we've gone to this defensive style, and we're still letting in absolutely criminal goals like that is quite concerning, really. is the only way I can see it. It was a badly defended goal. But, you know, like I said earlier in the pod, I think we'd just given up by then almost. But, you know, given up is a bit harsh. But as you know, as Ty said, I trust the squad. They are professional footballers. I don't think they would have actually given up as such.
Does this go back to the soft underbelly we referred to after the West Brom game, that we're a bit of a soft touch when teams get on top of us?
I think it does, yeah. I think it does. And if you look at under Foster so far, in terms of we've not done a great deal from losing positions. Yes, Cardiff was the big exception to that. We did get a win and we played fantastically in that second half. I still think that second half owned to Cardiff is the best the Foster era has been. But that worries me because that was so early in his tenure. So if that's the best it's been, that worries me. That could just be put down to a bit of a new manager bounce, or it could be put down to, you know, the players still subconsciously playing the Schumacher way rather than, you know, without being horrible, rather than him actually earning the credit for that, you know? So, yeah, I think ever since that Cardiff game, there has been a bit of a soft underbelly. I know we did also equalise from a losing position at home to Leeds in the Cup, but that was just completely out of nowhere. That free kick was probably the only time we got it in the half or game. So that was just one well-executed set piece, really. So, yeah, maybe I'm being a bit harsh and maybe we will start to get a couple of points or even win some losing positions. But I worry there is a soft underbelly. As we've all probably agreed, the first half, was it brilliant? Was it edge of your seat? No, but it was all right.
It was all right. It was all right, Sam. I think I've seen, sorry to interrupt. I've seen a couple of comments. I've seen Rosa, she made a good comment there. Losing to Zaz was critical. And if we are going to take the other stance here, right, and I don't mind saying, I know they hate me saying this, and I don't even care. I'm a football fan at the end of the day, so I'll say how I think. It comes down to the club, right? We're a well-efficiently run club, and that is a fact. I totally agree. We're well-run in a financial sense that we're well-run and we don't overspend, etc., right? But are you telling me that in the Championship, you know, like, I know people are saying, oh, £1 million is a lot of money and because of higher figures. But realistically, if we could have got us as for £1 million, like, how key is that? You know what I'm saying? In terms of ambition, showing a bit of something. So you have to almost give that a little bit in Foster's, I guess, side. I know I'm not a Foster fan, but you have to throw that in that really, has he been able to bring in anybody? You know, we've lost a key attacking player. I've been disappointed with Devine. I expected a lot better. I can't lie. From what Port Vale fans are saying and from what I'd seen doing at the youth at Spurs, I thought he would have been more creative. And again, I don't know if that's because of the position and the role he's played. And for sure, I do think it's been a great side and he's clearly a quality footballer. And I think Phillips is outstanding. So that does go there. But I just think we need to sometimes, and I'm not saying go and spend millions and millions, but sometimes I think you have to make that investment, right? You know, I feel like sometimes we have to do that. So it's fair play to you, William. I don't know, like, in terms of like the situation is that, but we know what he went to Borough for. I just think for us, he was, you know, really, really key. So it's worrying, isn't it? It is worrying.
Go on, Sam, very quickly.
Well, very, very quickly. I think there's a balancing act. Nobody wants us to overspend to the extent we did 14 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, we do have, and I know I keep saying it like a stuck record, the latest accounts do show 5 million in cash reserves. And I think very much the mindset in the summer was, and I think this is pretty much an open secret, we were going to spend £1 million on Azaz until it became clear that Barley Mumba became available. At the time, spending £1 million on Mumba seemed more justifiable than on Azaz because Mumba had a better season last year. Obviously, Azaz had a much better season this year. That's just the way it goes. But I wonder if with the cash reserves that were there in the club, could we maybe not have found a way to get all three of them in, Azaz, Mumba and Whittaker? Look, I don't want to go too extreme with overspending. I certainly wouldn't want us to borrow money to buy players because that's how we do get in the brown stuff financially, because when we have to repay our debt. But this wouldn't have taken borrowing players. This wouldn't have taken borrowing money, I should say. It would have been an investment. Yes, a risky investment, but I think a worthwhile one. Anyway, that's going off on a bit of a tangent, so I'll let Joe go back to his running order.
Yeah, well, I just want to very quickly, we're going to go on to the questions and then we'll go on to talk about Tuesday night's game against Wednesday, which we were originally planning penciled in talking about Wednesday on Thursday, but Sky got involved and have moved Wednesday to Tuesday. So now we'll be live on Wednesday. If you're still with me after that, well done. Open forum for the three of you. Do you want to pick out any performances from any of the players? Because Fozzy says it, you know, you've got to take the positives out of it. You can't just rely on the negatives. And I do get that to a degree. We're back on the road again on Tuesday night. Were there any of the, what, we made all five changes, didn't we? Of the 16 that featured on Saturday, is there anyone wants to highlight more than any
Miller,
others?
Miller, unreal. I've seen people slander him. I don't get it. He's quality. I think he's a quality player. I do. I thought he was our best player by far out of the bunch, to be honest with you, on Saturday. That's just my two cents. It's the same really on a, do you know what? And I'll be honest, on a disappointing scale, like I am the biggest Adam Randall advocate, right? I think he should probably, he's one of them players I'd like to see we keep for 15 years, captains of the club, you know, that Paul Warren-esque type player that we just have forever, because I think he's unbelievable. But I think he has been out of form the last few games. I think that's important because he can give us that creative spark. And I've been a little bit disappointed that he hasn't done that in the last few games. I think it was like the West Brom game. I was shocked he got as long as he did without being subbed off. And I think that was the other thing that annoyed me, as you say, in terms of the substitutes. So, but I think Colin, the Miller Mumba on that left hand side could be really good if we've got a way to work it. You know, having one playing further forward and one at wing back. I'd love to see that if we could make it work. I think that would be dangerous.
I would say, in fairness, I know that Pye didn't see all of this game because he was on the bus that got badly delayed. But I think Randall had a very good first half at Middlesbrough.
Excluding the Middlesbrough game, Sam, because everyone was class at Middlesbrough. Sorry, I'd make that clear.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Yeah. Everyone was quality at Middlesbrough, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Even so, I would say that in like the Leeds home game in the league, he was one of our better players that day and got man of the match. So I agree he was poor yesterday, and I agree he was poor against West Brom, as they all were. But I wouldn't necessarily agree he's on bad form. Miller, look, I'm genuinely open to hearing other opinions. Am I just missing it with Miller? I get why people like him to an extent, because he has that energy of gets his shoulder down, runs with the ball, and looks like he's about to do something dangerous. And I get that. The problem I have is that the end product is almost never there. I think
he's
crosses the right.
He's a left back that's literally providing attacking intent, because do you know what? We've got no one else because we play such a draw style of football. The amount of times he drove us forward, I'd rather that than play side to side for 90 minutes. At least he showed some fight, you know, like, and there is that level of excitingness. I do agree that, maybe the end product is lacking, but the amount of crosses he's getting in, the amount of times he's getting up that sort of left-hand side, I don't know. I think he's class. That's just my opinion.
I honestly can see your point of view, and I think maybe I have been a bit too harsh on him, because having read how much absolutely everybody was raving about his performance and I came away moaning about him, maybe I did get it. Maybe I have just got tunnel vision when it comes to him and I just don't see the good he brings. But at the end of the day, just the amount of just like simple things he did wrong. He was like passing the ball out for a throw-in or messing up short passes. For all the good he did in that sense, was quite a lot. And also, I still think you've got to say, I take your point, he's playing as a left wing back. He is ultimately a winger by trade. For someone who's been quite an attacking player for most of his time at the club, he has still only got one goal and two assists in his entire time at the club. And let's face it, the goal wasn't really his goal, if we're being honest. But to really, if that goal was given as an own goal, that's zero goals and two assists in his entire time at the club. So I just think that yes, you know, I get that the end product isn't always going to be there, but I just think often it seems like the end product's very rarely there. And for all the, yes, he does drive us forward, I just think he's lacking a little in that regard. In terms of a player I want to give a positive shout-out to, I would say a player who I moaned at a lot earlier in the season, but I do think he had a very solid game yesterday, Pleguezuelo. Don't think he let much go down his side. Most of their threat came down, came either through the middle or, well, it was Gibson and Galloway could maybe do better for the for the goal, and obviously Galloway's deflection, unfortunate for the own goal. So I don't think Plegofalo did much wrong at all in the game. For someone who I wasn't impressed by him too much early in the season, I do think he was very solid, and I think that's, you know, he's keeping Phillips out of the team at the moment, so credit to him.
I tend to agree on Peggy, and yeah, I'm a little bit sad that you've stolen his name from my mouth, but it's fair enough. I think if I just want to look at Miller again, I think probably the truth lies somewhere between the two. I think the words, you know, Miller was probably the best of the bunch yesterday was mentioned, and I think he probably was, in truth, looking at what he offered and some of the stats after the game. I think possibly it says a bit about the bunch, right? Like if Mikael Miller is coming out of the game as your best player, then maybe that's an issue. You know, like, you know, he's been one of those where I think there's actually a lot of inconsistency to his game, which is a little bit annoying in the sense that yes, he yesterday I agree looked like our main threat. On another day, could have scored, but that's an end product debate that I think has been had. Equally, there are games that I go to and think, how has this guy made it in the Championship? Like, why are we lining up with a League One winger as our left wing back? It's bizarre. And then the next week he'll make me eat my words again, and he'll put in one of his better performances. So I do think the truth lies somewhere in between. I think, yeah, he stood out certainly yesterday. And I know it's a small field, considering the performances, and Plegge, as I say, is another name I was going to mention. But Miller's very much up there. I just think that says a bit more about everybody else that he's the one shining, if I'm honest. And that's nothing against the guy, because as I say, he's for what he did and what he offered most recently, he did very well. It's just that we shouldn't be looking or shouldn't be having to look towards him as our main attacking outlet, because the end product hasn't been there. So, you know, he did shine. And I think it'd be unfair not to say that. But it's a weird thing to say. He shouldn't have to. It is probably the way I'd put it.
Because we ain't got anything else, have we? Like, we don't. If I didn't look at the team sheet, I wouldn't know what formation we were even playing yesterday. Because one minute Weir could look like he was wide. One minute he looked like he was down the middle. The one thing I was going to add is the one thing we always seem to have, and that I think we're really lacking now, is the fight. You can be bad, but you can still put up a fight. At 2-0, that was it. Foster sat down on the bench with his hands in his pockets. The players just seem to lack any, you know, that commitment. And is that because they don't want to play for the manager already? For me, it all comes down to Foster. We are a League One club in the Championship. I know people like to say that, but we are in the Championship. We do have the quality. We know, we've seen under Schumacher, we've got the quality. The players can do it, and they're not doing it. So that comes down to A, the club, for the people that they appointed, an inexperienced manager that effectively, and I hope I'm wrong, isn't Championship quality. And that's not Foster's fault that he's not good enough. That he got the job. The club gave him the job. He clearly doesn't know how to handle the media. He hasn't got a plan B. He's not playing the football he's promised he's going to play. You know, is he already losing the players? You know, is he? I feel like from reading social media, he's losing the fans. So, yeah, sorry, I don't want to lose my head again, because I will do, because it really annoys me. But, that, you know, that's just...
regardless of whether you think they're playing for the manager, whether they think he's lost it. I mean, ultimately, we don't know. But the optics, I think, are not great. And it all goes back to Foster's inexperience and the fact that he's got to learn on the job. And he's got to learn pretty damn quickly at this point. I mean, things like not looking like you want to change things at 2-0 down. I mean, I don't necessarily buy into that everybody needs to show passion at the end of the game. But it was something as simple as going to clap the fans at the end of the game. It's not going to make a material difference. But not doing it, it's just, it gives people a stick to beat them with.
Yeah, like, yeah, you just handed them. You just handed them the keys.
It's one of those, isn't it? Where I'm not going to make the point of the coaching and the managerial side of it again, but he clearly does have to learn quickly, and perhaps time's running out. This week.
And doesn't that come back though? Doesn't that come back again to the point of that? Yeah, obviously it was a gamble, but why are we appointing someone? Is you're like, you have to think with how long the appointment took. There were better candidates that At the end of the day, what we needed this season was, in the position we were in, was to just solidly make sure, I think, we, you know, stayed up, which now at one point looked fine, at one point looked worrying. Now it does look really worrying. I know the running we've got in terms of the games around us, but look at these teams. We're not, you know, these teams are winning games, you know, QPR are winning games. Huddersfield, man, that's a ridiculous point for them yesterday. You know, QPR winning 3-1 away at Leicester. Birmingham nearly got a result at Southampton. So, yeah, I think we, I do think we need to be careful. Hopefully we're looking back on this in 3 or 4 weeks. We've got, you know, 7, 9, 12 points or whatever, and we can say, hey, we were wrong. But it's for me, it's a worry. And you said it, like, he's got to learn the job. I don't know why we're hiring someone that has to learn the job. And is it due to it being the June Chip puppet show? And I think we just needed I would have taken Warnock to the end of the season. I would have done. I mean, again, I'm a fan. I got no clue, but that's certainly something I would have happily taken, shore it up, and then reevaluate and go again in the summer. Is what I personally would have done.
It's a pretty big gamble at this point, and I guess only time's going to tell whether it's worked out. And hopefully, you're absolutely with what you mentioned. We're a few points down the line, and we'll look back on this and go, yeah, maybe we'll be fine. But right now, it's looking a massive gamble at this point.
Let's do some very quick fire questions then that were sent in both tonight on the live stream. Keep them coming in. We do still have to preview Sheffield Wednesday, but we were sent a couple of questions post-game, so we'll quickly rattle through these, keep the answers as brief as we possibly can, so that we don't keep everyone awake and they don't miss the 10 o'clock news. Barry Evans asked on Twitter, Sam, you can take this one if you like. Link-up play between the midfield and Hardy wasn't great yesterday. What is the answer, or were they just better than us and stopped anything going through? It's not been great for a few games. It was obviously very good at Middlesbrough when JB managed to link the play with Whittaker to Hardy, particularly for the second goal. But it is becoming a bit of a concern in other games, isn't it?
Yeah, I think partly it's just that their general defensive approach, which I've bemoaned a few times, sitting too deep, not having a go at teams enough. Again, I want to reiterate the point I made last time I was on the pod, that I was so wrong about saying that we should go back to 3-4-3. Completely wrong. I'll be glad to gloat when I'm right, so it's only fair I take the slack when I'm wrong. I thought that, you know, when Schumacher was playing this four at the back with inverted fullbacks, I was thinking, what are we doing this for? We won the league playing 3-4-3, but actually looking at it now, 3-4-3 in the Championship, it is a lot worse. We don't control games anymore, and I think under four at the back, and look, I'm not saying four at the back is going to suddenly make everything better, and I'm not saying that three at the back is always doomed to lose. But actually, I think all else being equal, four at the back with those fullbacks coming inside allows us to progress the ball out of defence and allows us to get the ball through the midfield. At the minute, we're foregoing the midfield quite often because we're passing it around the back. We're realising there's not really an out ball on. And then we get chased down and we panic and we punt it long because there's no other option. That's what we're doing at the moment. So I think having that four at the back with the extra man in the midfield allows us to dominate possession a bit more, get the ball through to our very talented attacking players. So hopefully that was quick fire enough. I think we need to go back to 4-3-3. And I promise I won't ever complain about it again if we do.
Yeah, we were sent one from Pilgrim Petey. I'll get Aaron to ask that midweek when I'm not in the hosting chair, because it would be a bit narcissistic of me to answer a question that's sent in about myself. Pi, you can have this one. Kerouac99. Apologies if I keep butchering your X handle, because it's interesting on the point that you just made about Mikko Miller. As good as Sorinola and Miller have been going forward, defensively they have been way off it and contributed to conceded goals at home in the last few games. Do you think it's time to give Mumba another chance?
Yeah, I like Mumba. I do. I know it's disappointing to see the form, shall we say, but I do think the talent is there. I'd like to see Mumba and Miller. That's what I want. And to keep it quick fire. And this is really what annoyed me, was in that West Brom game, that I think it was the second goal, Sorinola played actually really well. He was knackered. And he played him for an extra 10 minutes. I don't understand why he didn't sub him off. He was knackered. So as good as he was, I don't know if he's got the fitness there. But yeah, I definitely do. I am pro Mumba, personally. I am pro Mumba.
What else have we got? Casey Pilgrim, Adam, we'll come on to the live questions we'll get now in a second. Casey Pilgrim asks, why is Fozzy content with waiting to make subs? And when we are 1 or 2 nil down, we were crying out for fresh legs from 55 minutes onwards.
No, yeah, I don't disagree at all. It's weird how it links in, isn't it? Because this time last week, we're actually on the podcast and discussing how well the substitutes went at Middlesbrough. You know, the way that Foster was able to make them on own terms. And I think it's just another example of how getting ourselves ahead in the game matters so much to Foster's style. Because falling behind the substitutes, it looks like he doesn't have a clue. When he's able to make them on his own terms, it looks like, oh, yeah, that's very sensible. So, yeah, yesterday, back in West Brom, those subs weren't, well, they weren't good enough at all, and they were too late. I think that's all very clear. So, yeah, it's one of those, I don't want to sound too hypocritical, because it's only been 7 days since I was saying how well he used them at the Riverside when we were in the game. But it's another thing that just links in with the plan B, isn't it? He doesn't seem to have one, and the substitutes are very much a part of that.
Let's be fair. If we weren't a reactionary fan base, this podcast would be a very dull listen to people.
Right, this is
an interesting trend of a few questions that have come in tonight. And we're going to highlight Zach's comment, and we've got a couple more that we can highlight. And it's an open forum, really. Where's the coaching team? I know that you obviously don't want to rush to make an appointment for making an appointment's sake. But as Pi mentions, Ian Foster is an inexperienced manager at this level. With all due respect to Neil Jusnip, I'm not necessarily sure he wants to be on the touchline, because that's not his remit. And if he wasn't there mucking in and doing his bit, it would just be Fozzy, Nance, and Daryl Flahaven. It's a bit of a concern, isn't it?
One of the tweets I saw, which was quite amusing, that was that Daryl Flahaven was doing the striking warm-up drills as the goalkeeping coach. So it just shows how short we are on coaches, that the goalkeeping coach is doing the striker drills. Yeah, again, another comment there, any chance of an assistant manager, the longer it goes on, the more I feel like Jusnip is manager. And I wonder if this is basically Neil Jusnip manager by stealth, and Foster's just like Foster's actually the head coach, and Jusnip is the manager behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, you're right, Sam. No one knows, do they? No one knows. I do apologise, by the way. I just seen the time. I do have to dash, if that's all right, boys. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right, Jack.
Talk about your question on Wednesday, but thanks for having me. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, been a pleasure, mate. Hopefully see you on again.
Yeah, mate. Honestly, if you want me back, if it doesn't go well in the week, that might not end too well.
I feel in happier circumstances as well.
Oh yeah, that would be great, mate. Hopefully, we stay up by a point, goal difference, whatever, and then we can have a party. So, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Cheers, bye.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, mate.
Have a great.
There we go, yeah, Sam. Carry on.
Yeah, well, I've slightly lost the trail of it. Yeah, Yeah, there's a bit of a theory that Jusnip is actually the manager. And look, maybe that's a little far-fetched. But the more it goes on, the more I can't really see any other explanation why we're taking so long. And yes, you know, you could say we're waiting to find the right person. But come on, we're on the clock here. This is not... This is not the off-season. This is actually a situation whereby we really badly need... To get the points over the line to stay up, you know? I don't know quite why we're not doing it. And that's, I think it's something we need to address quickly. I mean, Foster had said, you know, when he was asked about it, we'll have a look. We'll maybe, you know, find the right person when we can. But really, come on. This is not the start of the season. This is the business end. Go on, yeah.
The gut feeling I get is that perhaps he has identified, or the club have identified, who they want to be the number two, but perhaps it's not able to be explored until the summer. I hope I'm wrong, because, as I say, this is not a slight on Neil Jusnip whatsoever, but his remit is not to be on the touchline. And although he said he enjoyed the four games that he took caretaker charge of, I remember him saying himself after the Watford game. You know, he can't wait to go back to his day job. Well, at the moment, he's not really being able to do that. Adam, we'll come on to the last question, and then I've kept the thousands of Sheffield Wednesday fans that are watching waiting long enough for them to hear about how we're going to try and beat the Owls on Tuesday night. Steve Vaughan says, Hardy and Whittaker look burnt out. Maybe they need a rest, but who do we replace them with? Thoughts?
Yeah, it's a question I think we've been exploring since the end of the transfer window, right? And the way that we were hoping, obviously, to get Aziz in, and really, we'd have all liked another striker as well to be able to rotate. I mean, I know I mentioned in the build-up to the game just gone that it would have been nice to see Bundu get a bit more time, particularly with the way that he put their defence to the sword in the reverse fixture. So, I don't know, maybe getting Bundu involved a little more would help to plug a few of those gaps. But yeah, it's thin, and it's a symptom of ending that window without bringing anybody else in for those attacking positions on deadline day, because it looked to all of us like, A, it was obvious that it needed to be a gap that we filled in, and B, that the club were actively trying to do that with Femi Aziz. And I mean, I don't want to go down the old cliche of this podcast, but is the fact that we didn't get Aziz and nobody else another sign of no plan B? I don't know. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough to see that. And you would have thought, actually, that having that week off would have benefited them greatly. I know it didn't seem it, and there's probably other reasons behind that. But yeah, it's a struggle to see anyone putting Whittaker or Hardy on the bench at the moment, for the simple fact that last time and the only time Whittaker hasn't played this season, we lost 4-1 at Bristol City. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Yeah, I don't know the answer to the question, is the honest truth. But to be fair, I don't think anyone at the club does either.
There we have it then. That is the Ipswich segment of tonight's live podcast. And all this, you know, I know there's been a lot of banter flying around on social media, as we'd expect there would be after all the banter and the tomfoolery that went along with the epic title race last year. But, you know, kudos to Ipswich. They thoroughly deserve the 3 points, and it, you know, good luck to them for the rest of the season. I'm in the mindset it would be quite refreshing to see somebody else go up to the Premier League, and I'm bored of seeing the same teams yo-yo. So all the best to them in their promotion bid as we now concentrate on ourselves and concentrate trying to stay in the Championship, a division that we worked so hard to get into.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.